Hello and welcome to episode 58 of the Sales Quants Podcast, a production of Madison, Michigan and Market. This is Jeff, and I'd really like to thank you for your time today. So we have a great show for you today. We're going to learn how to shorten our sales cycle with a business case approach to selling. So our friend Mark J. Goad from SAP is stopping by. He has years of experience in multi-million dollar enterprise deals, using a business case to quantify the value of these deals. And he's now taken that depth of expertise and applying it to the SaaS startup and SMB space. And he's making pretty tremendous impact. So please stick around, join us, and we will talk to you after the interview. So today we're talking to Mark Goad, who's the strategy and operations lead for SAP's Corporate Accelerator. Mark, how are you today? Welcome to the podcast.
Hey, Jeff. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, we're thrilled to be here. So just for the sake of introductions, tell us a little bit about yourself, Mark.
Yeah, so I came to SAP straight out of business school studying finance and strategy, moved into their pre-sales group focusing on large enterprise, so that's anything over $10 billion in revenue. From there, I went to account management on the services side of the house, and then as of January this year, joined our corporate accelerator down in San Francisco.
Wow. And you said the key word there, house, which I have to pick up on. You've had an exciting past year, right? Because you've recently moved from Canada to the Bay Area. So how's that working for you?
It's been a weather upgrade, that's for sure. But there's a lot less hockey down here. So it's kind of hard to find the right channels, but we're making it work.
That's good. That's good. I'm sure that was probably – is that your biggest culture shock so far?
Honestly, it was on the con side of the list, but it's too good of an opportunity to come down here and work with a cool team. So Right. Had to make the jump.
Good deal. Good deal. So, Mark, the reason why we've been connected for a while now, and I find your approach to sales very compelling. So I'd love for you to share your unique point of view on the sales process and kind of a term you've coined called business case selling. So can you share with the audience your point of view there?
Yeah, for sure. And it definitely stems from my background and introduction to the world of sales. So I was part of a specific pre-sales group within SAP that would be engaged on the largest deals to specifically build business cases to kind of articulate the economic consequences of a SAP digital transformation. So the thinking is that every large transaction needs to have an ROI or an IRR, and we'd come in, do our analysis and build them essentially an Excel model that showed what are the actual fiscal and economic implications of doing a digital transformation.
Wow. And so it sounds pretty intense. And you mentioned the notion of IRR in the sales process, which is internal rate of return. Could you speak to that a little bit, kind of tease that out a little bit for us?
Yeah. So IRR is the rate of return on capital that a company needs to achieve in order to undergo a project. So what you'll see, and I'm talking specifically about large enterprise, so above $10 billion in revenues typically, you'll see these organizations have 10 to 20 to 30 projects that people throughout the organization wants to tap IT to do. And what they'll do in central groups and procurement and IT, even on the business side, will stack rank projects by this internal rate of return to determine which ones they'll do for capital allocation over the next 2 to 5 years. So it's incredibly important, especially at the largest end of enterprise selling, to be able to articulate what is the economic value and the IRR of doing a project with whatever software vendor or consulting service you're working with.
Wow. So is this a gap-based approach? Are there standard approaches to these calculations in the business case, or how much creativity is there to get your case closer to the top?
Yeah, so it's a great question, because standardization, especially when you're talking, a $10 billion company typically has at least 30,000, 50,000 people within it, and there's all different approaches from all across the organization. And I think it just comes back to, just trust and credibility.
Right.
As a vendor, you need your champion to own the number and to have them not only believe in it, but to be able to articulate how they got there. And it's just going back and just doing the hard work of, here's what our process is, here's what our process will be, here's why we think it will be this based on either an industry stat or something you know about a competitor. And that's where your position at the center of the market as a software vendor or service provider can help and say, here's what we achieved with other customers. and then just building that case after case, line after line, until you have an enterprise business case that can sell.
Wow. Wow. And so is business case selling, how long has business case selling been a sales model, would you say, for quite some time?
So I know our organization developed a group that I joined roughly 12 years ago. I'd have to imagine it'd be a principle of allocating capital long before then. Most of the research that I've done is saying that after the 2008-2009 global recession, money became smart, meaning that projects now that used to seem like a good idea and would get capital needed to show the actual economic dollars and cents of where the return was going to come from and when, to hold people accountable. And that's been a large driver of the Challenger methodology as well, which is something that I've studied and practiced here at SAP.
As in teach, tailor, take control, that Challenger?
Exactly.
Nice.
And part of the teaching, right? The reframing and using that opportunity to leverage what you know and leverage how you think you're going to provide economic value in a way that a customer doesn't necessarily view it or has it in the past, I guess.
Right. So then what's the role of, you know, so often sales is known for historically relationships and persuasion and the art of selling, and this is a much more quantitative, fiscally driven sales process. I mean, what's the role of relationships, and does the data, you know, is this process solely rely on the data, or is there this kind of nice mixture of the two?
I think from what I've seen is that the data is more important today, but it is not the only thing that is important. So in any of the transactions that we've done, it's been based off the trust and the credibility within the relationship that gives credence to the actual numbers, right? Because if you just come into an unknown relationship and try to drop a business case on the table saying we're going to save you $5 million over the next 10 years, you don't have that. You don't have the relationship or the trust to stand on to give you a voice within the organization. So I absolutely believe in both, but it's a unique way into many accounts is to talk about business value first and build a relationship off of that, which is something we do with our portfolio companies and the accelerator I work for now.
I see. So and tease that out a little bit more. So it's business value, and I guess this goes back to the Challenger sell, right? So how can you solve a problem? How can you build trust and credibility? Being that, you know, taking that partnership approach and then proceeding with it almost becomes a bulletproof argument, right? That not only will we provide value, but here's the proof.
That's exactly it. And I find in smaller account management that we're moving to now, not the tens of billion dollar companies, that leading with that business value and building the relationship after, so somewhat switching of the relationship, has been very effective in our SMB and mid-market sales processes.
So that's something interesting. How have you evolved from, you know, doing billion-dollar deals with large enterprise, and what's it taken? How have you shifted gears into supporting, you know, this venture portfolio and SMBs? What's that process been like for you?
So I could say confidently my boss wishes they were billion-dollar deals, likely million-dollar deals. It's been a completely confounding experience. So I think coming into this position and going back to my roots in investment analyst and helping build up these small companies, I have been quickly pointed to as, oh, that guy used to sell. He can help us sell this, you know, $2,000 SaaS subscription, which is the level that we're starting with a lot of these portfolio companies. And it's been a complete reimagining of what does it mean to prospect, lead gen, demand gen. And that's part of my role here is helping build out what's the standard operating procedure. And it's been a lot of learning and trying to take what I've learned in the large enterprise and bring it down to its smallest, simplest form has been what I've been trying to focus, not forget what we've learned, but adapt it for a new customer with a new sales cycle and a new process. Like I'm not used to doing an entire transaction over the phone or email.
Right.
It's a completely new experience. So it's been a lot of learning and a lot of fun.
Wow. That's great. And really when you're talking these multi-billion dollar sales, a lot of it is risk mitigation. And do you see a quicker sales cycle leading with data, leading with a business case, where I know we always talk about upside potential and growth and it's exciting, but this whole notion of risk mitigation might seem that your sales cycle could go a lot faster if you're selling, like you said, a $2,000 SaaS product.
Absolutely. So in anything over the signing ability of a VP at a $10 billion company, they have to go for capital budget allocation processes, which are like standardized, right? Typically quarterly or biannually. So you're locked into that process at minimum in an enterprise and the largest enterprise deal cycles, because you're waiting for that capital to be released, which is dependent on your business case. So the ability to accelerate in a large, large enterprise scenario is just less so than when we're dealing with a SaaS solution that can be signed with someone's credit card. And we've seen great results in building out much more simplified, because you only have 15 minutes on the phone versus the hours of demos and discoveries and deep dives we would do. So it's, here's what we've done with other customers. Here's the value we think it would bring to you based on what we know about your company. And it's doing that dirty work and doing that research about the prospects and what are you using today and how quickly can we get you onto this?
So it's
just having that targeted approach.
That's great. And so that's the approach of how to get started. So if I'm a SaaS, if I'm a founder, or say, you know, the new VP of sales at a SaaS or a mid-market company, how do I get started with this approach?
I think the basics are fairly readily available online. Like, you want to be able to quickly quantify your value proposition. And I think it starts with going online and doing some research around, like, what are the metrics that your industry cares about? And then it's going back and talking to your existing customers to gather that data of what improvements have they seen. And that's the delta you're trying to quantify for every new incremental customer, right? It's figuring out what they care about and then figuring out how you move the needle. And those are the only two things you need to know to build a compelling business case that we've seen helps drive sales with our portfolio companies.
That's great. Impact and outcomes, right? That's
for sure.
Good deal. For sure. That's great. No, that's great, Mark. So let's switch gears here a bit. This has been a really fascinating approach to this business case sales model. Want to get more up on the personal side. So, Mark, what are you actually reading these days? Where are you spending your time consuming information?
Yep. So being out of the field a bit, obviously having read through most of the Challenger methodology content, I'm switching more towards corporate innovation. So I'm reading The Innovator's Dilemma by Clayton Christensen, which is a seminal piece in this type of work. But I've just reordered one of the portfolio companies has asked me to come on and do some biz dev for them. So I've just ordered Crossing the Chasm.
Nice.
I'm excited to read that over the next couple of weeks and get back into the smaller sales cycle mindset.
Great. And do you have a favorite podcast?
This one, of course.
Oh, yeah. Thanks. Thank you.
I do listen to you regularly, Jeff, and then I try to stay abreast of what's going on in the venture capital world. So Saster is a great podcast. 20-Minute VC, super easy to consume, small bites, just trying to learn all the time.
Great. No, that's good, Mark. That's great. Really helpful. I haven't checked out Saster, but I'm very aware of it. But that's on my short list of podcasts to subscribe to right now.
Yeah, they have amazing guests come on through their conference network, and everything they're doing over there is fantastic.
Cool. I will check them out for sure.
Yep.
So to wrap it up, tell us, I know you have a very cool blog you spun up recently, and you have a lot of great tools and resources available. So can you tell everyone where they can find out more about you, Mark?
Yeah. So on the side started Bluebird Sale. So anyone with a deep enterprise background will recognize a Bluebird Sale is when a sale falls out of the sky and lands in your lap, and you just sign the papers and move on. So
love it.
Thank you. That's the hope, at least. So just publishing as much free content I can in terms of old business case templates. What are the foundational kind of terms you need to know to sell using a business case methodology? And then working with clients who are interested in building customized business cases for their SaaS solutions. So we just landed our first client, and we're pretty excited about that to see where that goes.
Great. No, that's good. So and could you state that it's bluebirdsale.com, right?
Sale, singular, .com.
Perfect. Yep. Great. Yeah, everybody, check out Mark over at bluebirdsale.com. He's got a lot of great tools and resources there, and make sure you connect with him there or any other social profiles you'd like to call out.
You can follow me on Twitter, Mark J. Goad.
Nice. Good deal.
That'd be great.
All right, Mark. Hey, really appreciate the time. This is really helpful, really insightful, and I can see how applying that, you know, business case approach to selling and quantifying the impact could make a major difference in how you've taken that enterprise model and really made it highly effective for the world of SaaS and startup. So that's great. Really appreciate your time today, Mark. Thanks.
Thanks for having me on, Jeff. My own state. I'm the one with the power to dictate my own fate. Persist
to exist. I make a list of the echoes of my life I must dismiss. Hey, it's Jeff. I'm back, and I hope you enjoyed that interview with Mark as much as I did. What was so cool to hear is that even though we were talking about quantifying foolproof business cases, that the power of relationships and the critical nature of relationships still play a big role in driving sales, no matter how large or small. So please, if you like the podcast, I would really appreciate a rating and review in iTunes, and also would love you to stop by the website salesquants.com, salesquants.com. Go over to the Contact Us button, fill out a form, and leave a comment. I'd love to hear what you're thinking and what you think about the business case approach to selling. So thanks again for your time, and I will talk to you next week.